Okay, please stand to your feet now for the reading of the Word of God. Luke chapter 15, now verse number 11. Luke 15 and verse number 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with what riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I have perished with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and before thee, and no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, ran and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it. And let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found, and they begin to be merry. Remain standing for a prayer now, and let's pray. Bow your heads. Dear Father in heaven, Lord, we just thank you for the Word of God, and I pray now, Lord, that you might help me as I preach the Word of God. Help me have the message, Lord, that's needed amongst this congregation of people today. Father, Lord, I pray your Spirit would go to work, Lord, and I pray that through these aisles, Lord, in the hearts of men and women, Lord, I pray that you'd work in a very definite way. Father, we need you to do something, Lord. Nothing I can do in the flesh, Lord, except say some words. Lord, you're able to take those words and you're able to reach the hearts of men and women with it. Father, I just pray, Lord, that you'd do something this morning. I pray, Lord, somehow or another you'd save some young person, Lord, from being ruined. Lord, I pray somehow or another you might reclaim some backslider. Father, I pray somehow that if there's a lost person here, Lord, I pray that you'd find them, Lord, and give their heart to thee, Lord, and they'd be saved. Father, we call upon you, Lord, to work among us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated.
Now, in this passage here, this is a very familiar story. Somebody says, why is it familiar? Well, it's preached on a lot. People preach on the story of the prodigal son a lot of times. But I guess it's familiar because there are a lot of prodigals these days. There are a lot of people that know this story and have known this story in time past. And it's a familiar story because the devil paints a very bad picture and a false picture as far as what this life is all about. You know this road here, as far as the prodigal son traveled, this is a very familiar and well-traveled road. It's not a good road to be on. It's what you might say in the Bible that Jesus called the broad road that leads to destruction. And many get on, few there be that come out of it and get on a straight and narrow road. Yet it's a very familiar path because the devil has painted a false picture and people have believed what the devil has painted as far as the picture of this world is concerned. Sometimes a person gets on this road and they're blinded by the devil. They're taken captive by the devil at his will. As a result, they remain on this road and they head down the road to destruction. Maybe you've been on it in times past. Maybe there's some folks here that even now, even today, even this moment, you're on this road. The prodigal son was on whenever the Lord called him out and called him back to his father's house. I don't know, but I'll tell you what. I never recommend anybody to go out and sow their wild oats. Somebody says, well, Brother Martin, they've got to sow their wild oats. And the devil will tell you, that's all right, just hold on for a season. Let me tell you something, my friend. There's a price to be paid for it. That price is such a steep price that you can't even imagine what that price might be. You don't have no idea. Dear friend, I advise you, if you're somebody that's determined in your heart that you are going to sow your wild oats, you're going to pay for it. You'll be sorry at the end of the road. This is a classic story that illustrates somebody that said they would. You know, listen, dear friend, you might as well go out and play Russian roulette just as safe as to head down that wrong road and head down the broad road leads to destruction. Head down the road, the very same road the prodigal son headed down for. You can be sure that you'll come out of it exactly like this young fellow came out of it. There's no question about it. God put this thing down in the Word so that you understand exactly how it's going to go. And if you're on that road and you stay on that road, you're not going into it blind, friend. You're going in with your eyes open. You're doing what you want to do. And it's going to catch you exactly like it caught this young man down in the hog pen of this world. Now, in this particular situation, of course, you know, you say, well, what age does a person begin like that? And I don't know. I mean, I couldn't really set an age on it. I realize how some ages go in the Word of God. In Numbers, in the book of Numbers, when he was 20 years of age, he's old enough to go out to war. And nowadays, you know, people don't wait till they're 20 to do anything. When they used to be 18, I guess, about the time I was coming through. And it's no longer even 18. It's about 14, 16 years of age now. And sometimes you see them 11, 12 years of age. I mean, they're living like H-E-double-L. They're living like hell itself. And so you can't really say what age a person begins to go down that wrong road. It just says here's a fellow that had a couple of sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And that fellow, he just wanted what he had and all he could get out of life, and he wanted that thing very early in his life. And it'd be well for you if you wait a little while till you get some things, and get some things the hard way. If everything's just simply given to you, my friend, you'll never appreciate what's given to you. You'll never appreciate your daddy's hard work. You'll never appreciate what God's done for you and your family. You'll never appreciate anything unless you just take your time and you have to work and you have to sweat and you have to save. And then finally you get ahead somewhere out later on in life. You don't need everything right now. Sometimes two young people start down the wrong road. I've already talked to them downtown at 14 and 15 years of age. And I mean, they're already juking up on Saturday night. I mean, they're already living like H-E-double-L. And ain't no question about it. They're open with it. There's no question about it whatsoever. Just youngsters. And it doesn't say how young this fellow was. It just says a younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. And you know, whenever somebody gets that way, somebody gets an idea there where they just want to hand out all the time. That's no good for them. I mean, this fellow, he had to gimme, gimme, gimme. You know, the world's that way these days. I mean, that's the cry of the world. It's not the cry of the Word of God. And the Word of God is not gimme. And the Word of God is go out and work. And then you get something and God will bless that thing and increase that thing. That Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 11, it says, wealth gotten by vanity diminisheth, but he that gathereth by labor shall be increased. And the idea of the Word of God is you go out and you tangle with it and you make a couple bucks and you pay your bills, and God will, if you put God first, God will see that you have a dollar or so to set aside, and eventually that thing will increase. A fellow came to me about two or three weeks ago. He came in the office, and fortunately he didn't take the office, man. I was back there making a tape or two, and I heard somebody rattle the door. I didn't hear nothing, so I come back through there, and the guy was in my office. I said, what do you want? And the guy says, I need $10. He said, my kids don't have any milk. You know the old story. You know, they're always calling you about once or twice a week out here. You get these calls. You know, my kids don't have no milk and don't have no clothes, and we don't have this, and somebody needs a job, and somebody needs furniture, and somebody needs something else, and always looking for the handouts, you know. And I says, I don't have it. And he says, well, then how about give me $5? And I says, I don't have it. And he says, I was down here to the unemployment office, and they said that if you can get over there to Masson, just silvers, iron, and metal, he says, by 3 o'clock or something like that, he says, they might have a job awaiting for you. I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll give you $2, give you enough gasoline to get over there, but that's all I got. I don't have any more, and that's all I got. And I told that fellow, I said, don't forget, when you get a job, I says, stay on that job. I says, that's the name of the game. I says, anybody around here that's got any money, they've got money because they haven't been afraid to get in there and do some work. And I says, that's the name of the game. You get out there and do some work. That's it. I might as well tell you that this morning. I mean, this world's going to lead you to think that this world owes you something. Out there, you know, the devil's going to make you think that somebody owes you something. Ain't nobody owes you anything. You get out there and tangle with it, and you make it like anybody else did. In the Word of God, after the fall of man, God didn't originally intend it that way, but after the fall of man, it was a matter of, by the sweat of the face shalt thou eat bread. And so that's the way you make it. You don't make it because somebody just hands things out to you. I remember a friend of mine one time in high school. This guy was about juniors in high school. Back in those days, they had what they called the Olds 88s. And those Olds 88s, they was the hottest thing that hit the market. You remember now, that'd be 1949 and 50. And those things there, I mean, they would really move down the road. I used to work up at 12th Street there at the garage, and Harold, he worked downtown at the garage, the Cadillac garage there. And sometimes he'd deliver one up, and I'd have to deliver one back. I never forget one time I was going from 12th Street downtown, and I got down about in front of McKinley High School in one of those Olds 88s, and I thought I'd put on a little show for my old buddies, you know. And so I got down here, like that, you know. And man, all of a sudden, I seen the gumball machine, you know, start coming behind me. And I forget whether I paid the tab that time or that was one of the warnings. Always find out if you got warned one time, you count on the fact next time you paid the tab. Guy told me one time, he says, well, he says, this one's going to be on us, but the next one's going to be on you. And sure enough, next time I got stopped, that policeman wouldn't hear my soft story. No mercy whatsoever. Man, he wrote me up. But anyhow, That's how those kind of things go. I remember this guy when he was just about a junior or senior in high school. His daddy had some money on the factory over here. That fellow man, he driving the old 88s. He had the girls. He had the football players all running around with him. They had plenty of girls. There wasn't no problem whatsoever. You know what that fellow did? He just had, his dad just gave him whatever he wanted. His dad gave him the desires of his heart. That fellow lived that way. And you know what? That thing went for about 20 years, and now that fellow was set up in business. The business blew apart, set up another business. I mean, it was money on top of money on top of money. I mean, that guy had, he had everything just given to him. And finally, about, I guess about 2 or 3 years ago, I mean, the guy lost his business. He just turned out to be an alcoholic. I mean, he lived in the bars, had lived drunk, stayed drunk, lived on the bottle. And that fellow finally, 2 or 3 years ago, lost everything, including his family. It just takes a while to get there. You know what it was? He was just a young man, didn't appreciate what he had because he didn't have to work for it. He told his dad, he said, give me, and daddy gave him no appreciation whatsoever. Now, you might as well face the fact in the Bible says a man don't work, neither shall he eat. And you can go on, you can do your very best and just give me, give me, give me, and that sort of thing. But I'll tell you what, if you get everything that you want, you're never going to really fully be satisfied. This world doesn't satisfy. To begin with, you're going to desire, you want the world, and you're never going to get the world. The Bible speaks about that situation back there. It says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Still a loss. You still have come up short, but the indication is you're not going to gain the world. You know you're not going to gain the world. You're not even going to gain and attain into your own standards. You're never going to quite reach the standards that you want. I mean, there's always something out there that you never quite reach, that line that you set up for yourself. And once you get it, if you did get it, you really wouldn't be satisfied with it. I mean, give me the portion of goods that fall of me. That's not the way God would have you to come through in the Word of God. The Bible says, but his daddy divided unto them all his living. That fellow didn't care nothing about his daddy. You'd think he'd said, Dad, I don't want your money. I don't want it. You worked hard for your money. That's not my money. That's your money. I don't want your money. I don't need your money. I'll get by just like you got by. That's your money. You enjoy it. You buy the cars. You enjoy your money. But no, Dad, give me. Give me. Give me. Give me. And nowadays, if somebody doesn't get everything handed to them on a silver platter when they're 17, 18 years of age, they say, oh, poor me, man, I've been persecuted. I've been discriminated against. And you love somebody better than you love me. Uh-uh. For your own sake, you don't need it. You don't need it. Just get out there and learn to bang your head up against the wall and save $5 out of every pay, $10 out of every pay, till you get you $300 to buy a car or whatever else. See? Not just living off your dad. Now, trouble begins whenever somebody gets that attitude of give me. And they get the attitude of give me all that my daddy's got. They don't really love their dad. They've done lost their love for the dad, or they wouldn't even think that way. They wouldn't even go to dad and say, Dad, I need this. They wouldn't even do it at all. Wouldn't even think of it. But you know, whenever you see a situation like that, you can be sure that trouble is just somewhere out ahead. Look at verse number 13. It says, now many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. I mean, trouble began in verse number 12, and trouble was very definitely right ahead in verse number 13. And then you take that fellow there, not many days after. I mean, he didn't get too far out after his daddy had given him a few things. And not many days after, he began to think he was somebody. He began to think, I can get out there and I can make it myself. I no longer need my dad. I no longer need the things at home. I don't need the home. I don't need their advice. I don't need anything there. And so he took it, brother, and he checked out. He said, I'll see you later. Bye-bye. Adios. Gotta go. And the Bible says, away he went into a far country. You know, today there's a lot of them heading for the far country. Today they're out there on those highways by the multitudes. Boys and girls. Heading for the far country. You know what they want to do? They want to get away from dad. That's the idea of it. There ain't nothing out there. There are more troubles out there than you got here. There are more troubles out there than you can handle. There are more troubles on that highway than you can ever imagine. You're going to find yourself at the highway side begging. But you know what the idea is? Dad, you don't really understand. Dad, you're about as square as anybody could be. Dad, you're an old fuddy-duddy. Dad, we don't do things that way anymore. Dad, this is just not how you do it anymore. Dad, we're a little bit smarter than was back in your time. And Dad, you know, as a matter of fact, you really just don't understand. You don't know. And so I'll see you, Dad. Bye-bye.
And you know the different ways you can go? I mean, some of them, they just get out in the road and throw those old bags up on their shoulders there, and they just thumb their way down the road. Shirley and I, one time, we was down and going down to Kentucky for a couple of days of vacation, and we left Dayton, Ohio there and gassed a car up, and I went to gas the car up. A couple beggars come up to me and wanted to know if they could have a ride. And I said, no, man, they just begged for a ride. I said, well, where are you going? I forget where they was going, down the south somewhere, and I finally said, all right, my wife was with me. You know who those beggars were? They were a couple of tramps. They were a couple of street girls, what they were. And they got in that car there, and they knew the road. They knew the highway. I mean, they knew it better than what I did. I got down there, and I was going down toward Louisville, Kentucky there, and they wanted to go straight on towards Lexington, and they said, leave us off here. I said, well, I'll leave you off. I'll take you down to Cloverleaf there, and I'll leave you off there, and you can catch another ride easier going the other way. Those girls knew the road, man. I took them 3 miles. Cloverleaf was one of the big old things like down Cambridge, like that. They was about 5 miles off the road when I got them dropped off, and at least a mile. They had them walk. They knew that. They knew the road. They'd been up and down the road. And but you see how that thing left them? Begging somebody for a ride. The devil never told them that when they started out. The devil make them think, boy, what a beautiful picture. What a wonderful picture. You get out there and all the boys are going to go after you. All the girls are going to go after you. You won't have to worry about mom. She's way back there in Ohio. You won't have to worry about dad. He's way back there in Ohio. You just get on the road and go. You're going to find more out there than what you can handle. You're going to find yourself doing some begging. And there are all kind of ways you can do it. Like I said, some of them, they just bum it. They just get on the road and, like a couple of tramps, they bum, beg a ride. Then there are others. There are some of them, maybe they go off and, sometimes they go to school. That's one way of doing it. That's one way of getting away from dad. I mean, you go off to school somewhere, you know, and dad, he can't follow you around. Sooner or later, the nest has got to be busted up anyhow. And so sometimes people take that route, and they say, I'm going to get away from my dad. If the last thing I do, I'm going to get away from my dad. I'm going to get away from that home. And they go off to school. I know a fella told me that. A fella told me, he said, man, all I simply wanted, I just wanted to get away from dad. People do that. Sometimes they don't have the money to go to school, and so if they're interested in, you know, there's all kind of ways you do it. Some are respectful, and some are disrespectful. You know, I mean, after all, I got little sense. I mean, you can either just do it, just flat out and leave like a bum and hit the road, or you can find some respectable way to get away from home. School's one, service is another. Somebody's got money, they just go off and go to school. Somebody don't have any money, they go off and join the service and get away from that. You say, Brother Martin, what you talking about? I've been down in Pensacola, Florida already, witnessing on the street corner Saturday night, and everybody comes in from the Navy base there. I'm standing in the corner of Garden Palafox by myself down there, passing out the gospel tracts, and what happens? These sailor boys come down there. I say, you've been saved. Need to be. I don't want to hear it. I've been hearing that thing all my life. I ain't about to hear it. I don't want to hear it. My mom jammed that thing down my throat. My mom made me go to Sunday school. My mom made me go to church. I don't want to hear it. Get away from me. That kind of stuff. I know their attitude. You don't have to tell me. I've been around, son. I've been around. And I know what they're doing out there. I know the long and short of things, whichever route they want to take, they just want to get away from dad. They want to get away from the Word of God. They want to get out from under the thumb. And you don't have to kid me about it. I know the routes they take. I've had them tell me. That's all the route they're simply doing. That's all it amounted to. That thing right there. In verse number 13, it says he took his journey into far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, can you imagine a situation like that? Can you imagine, I mean, the things that his daddy, the good things he had because his daddy had given him and took those things after his daddy had worked hard and wasted those things. Can you imagine that? I mean, just threw it away. Can you imagine such a thing as that? After dad's out there sweating it out, toiling and working and trying to pay bills and going on year after year. And here comes some young buck through there and gets that thing the easy way and just goes off and throws it away. Imagine that. But they do it. They do it. You know why? It's like old Bob Jones Sr. said, behind every tragedy in human character, there's a slow process of wicked thinking. You know what sin is? The act. That's way down the line from where it begins. It's number one, the presentation. Before your eyes, the devil's going to put some sin. Number two is the illumination. And number three, you decide. And finally, or there's a debate, number three, and number four, you decide. And way back there yonder, that thing becomes sin a long time ago. The Bible says the thought of foolishness is sin. And whenever that thing the devil's put before you, you begin tossing it back and forth. Should I? Shouldn't I? Should I? Shouldn't I? That thing right back there, God says, sin, 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 sin! And after you debate that thing a while, the devil says, go on, everybody's having fun. You might as well too. And so you decide. And then out here, my will is going to prevail once you decide. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care whose instructions I hear. My will is going to be number one. And you decide and put it over here somewhere is the act. You know where trouble began? The trouble began a long time ago, way over here. When somebody begins tossing that thing back and forth, whether I should or whether I shouldn't, and are just waiting for the opening, and once they get the opening, they say, I am, ain't nobody going to tell me any different. And then the act comes out. The act is just the last part of the game. It might be 3 years from where the sin began, but the act is just the last part of the thing. That Bible says there in verse number 13, he went into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. It's like the Bible says, the pleasures of sin. The only thing is, the Bible, it goes further than what the devil goes. The devil talks to you about how much pleasure there is in it. And the Bible says the pleasures of sin are for a season. It's going to cost you, dear friend. And it's going to cost you dearly before it's done. And a season not very long. I mean, it hadn't been long ago, was doing some fishing. Old Greg, he missed a golden opportunity yesterday. See? I mean, it's time to do some hunting already. It's man deer season just about on us. I mean, it hadn't been long ago when I was talking about getting those deer down here in Harrison County. It's time for it again. I mean, a year's gone by. That's 4 seasons. It's time for it again. See? Doesn't take long. Doesn't take long. He just wasted his substance on riotous living. And then you just don't have trouble beginning where you see trouble's about to begin and trouble's out ahead. But you find some real sure enough trouble. It's this way. You know, if you can see the evidence of this and the evidence of that and the evidence of something, eventually you're going to find the real thing. Whenever you see somebody run with the hippie crowd and you see somebody live on rock music and you see somebody with long hair and you see somebody hobnob with that crowd, you know it's only a matter of time till a sin shows up. Now, you can like that or lump it. But I got a little bit of sense. You don't have to give me credit for much, but you better give me credit for a little bit of sense. Because I've seen that thing happen too many times. Someone says, why don't you trail them down? I don't need to trail them. All I need to do is look and observe and watch attitudes. You think I don't have no sense? You can pick it up every time. I don't care if they lie to you 15 times in a row. Say, no, 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 nothing going on. No, 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 everything's okay. No, no, no. We're not all stupid. I have seen a couple of things already in my lifetime. And so the Bible says there, he spent all. There was real sure enough trouble. He spent it. Money's gone. When the money's gone, the fun's gone. I mean, your friends, they don't care nothing about you. They just like to be around you because they can get what they want through what you got. That's all. They don't care anything about you. Your money's gone. You ain't nobody. They'll just check you out like they did the last guy. And you might as well face that fact. If you haven't learned that, you'll learn it. He spent all. And there was a mighty famine in the land. How'd you like not have anything even to eat? Ron came over to the house last night and we was putting this gas line in, so I says, Ron, how about taking visitation yesterday? Come get the key for the church, get the tracks and stuff. He came over and brought it back, and Shirley was making chocolate chip cookies, so he calls up on the phone. He says, I wouldn't mind coming over for a chocolate chip cookie.
Aunt Shirley says, well, come on over. We're going to have some soup, too. And I might as well just come on over and have something to eat. They said, well, I'll bring this. Don't bring nothing. Just come on over. Well, I'll get my belly full. I said, we'll fix you up. So whenever he come over, Shirley had a whole bowl full of bones. You know, we figured if half the soup don't do it, we'll get him filled some full somewhere or another. I'll give him a whole bag of apples and get some more off of John or something. We'll get him filled up somehow. But I'll tell you what, how'd you like to be out in a situation there ain't no such thing as getting full? He spent all, and there was a famine in the land, and it began to be in want. Man, that fellow's beginning to get himself in some trouble. I mean, there's no more handout anymore. I mean, he began to be in want. He's hurting. He's in the wrong place. There is no help for this guy anymore. Something bad wrong. In verse number 16, he would fain have filled his belly with the husk of swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. There's your friends. There's your friends when you hit the bottom. Now, do you realize that? When you find a certain crowd you run with and you surely have a need and you have a bad need, you run with that crowd, that's what that crowd's going to do to you. They're my buddies. They're my friends. Don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself a minute. Young lady, you know what they're going to do to you? They're going to use you as an object of their lust as long as they can use you. When they're through with you, no! Get out of here. Come here, young lady. Oh, you're so sweet. You're so nice. Oh, you're the apple of my eye. Never have seen anything quite like you. There ain't nobody like you. Come on. Come on. Let's have some fun. Let's make some time together. Let's have us a good time. Go. Get. Yeah! I don't want to hear it. Go! It's not mine. Child ain't mine. Go. Amen. Young lady, come here. That's the truth.
Amen.
That's the hard, bitter facts.
Amen.
That's the facts they don't want to face. That's the reality.
Amen.
If you have any idea about that, Bible says there was a man that joined himself to citizens of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed his swine, and brother, no man gave unto him. There was a famine in the land. They was hurting. He had spent all. He had wasted his substance on righteous living. It's gone! Everything I had, it's gone! He wasted it! Gone! No man gave unto him. Boy, I thank God for my Christian friends every day. You talk about somebody that's got one foot in glory, I do. Man, I got people come around the house. I got 100 young people over there at Mass, and I go over and teach and have a lot of fun, have a good time with them. Come over here, man, got church over here that loves the Word of God and loves the Lord Jesus Christ, at least 3/4 of them. You talk about somebody having a touch of heaven, man, I've got it. I've got it. You can have that crowd.
Amen.
I know them. I know what they do to you. I know what their ideas are. Listen, when I see that crowd, you don't dare turn your back. You turn your back one time, brother, they'll put it in your back without even batting an eye. Some of y'all is going to find that out. Because you don't want to listen. You haven't listened. You aren't about to listen. You're going to rebel. You're going to fight. You're going to squawk. You're going to holler, you're going to fuss all the way. But you're going to find out that Brother Martin had some sense when he tried to hold you to the Word of God. No man gave unto him. How'd you like to get out to the end and have a situation like that? The gifts are gone. You already took all Daddy. Got to do no more to get out of him. Ain't nothing to bleed out of old Dad. You got it all now. You spent it all. You wasted it all. You blew it all. Now, fella, you can find out what it's like to start from the bottom of the ladder and make your way up. You had the opportunity to start about in the middle somewhere. Now you're going to find out what it's like to crawl around in the dirt for a while and get your nose rubbed in the dirt before you finally come to your senses. That's the story there. But you know, I find also in this passage here, I find the tender part. I find there was some real sure enough trouble, but boy, I'll tell you what, I find a tender part. In verse number 17, I see a situation where a fellow had hit the bottom, and the Bible says when he came to himself. Boy, I like that. I can't imagine what that fellow must have looked like out there slopping with the hogs. Out there, that fellow, man, he felt like he's in worse shape than what the hogs were. I mean, down in a hog pen of this world, I can't imagine what he must have looked like, but thank God he came to himself. And you know, it doesn't take long to get looking a mess. It doesn't take long to get looking like the world. It doesn't take long to get dirty. and get that dirty, pasty, vile look. Ouch, it doesn't take long. This fellow, Bible says here, when he came to himself, well, thank God he came to himself. You know, I don't know what he looked like, and I'm sorry for what he must have looked like. I've seen some of them, I mean, they look like, they tell me when I have my 2 hours sleep, death eating a cracker. You know? How'd you like to look like death eating a cracker and not have any joy in your heart? I mean, at least I got some joy in my heart. I might look like that, but I got some joy down in there. And I've seen some of them, I'm telling you, I've gone out and witnessed to them, and the fellows and the ladies that have gone with me and girls that have gone down the street corners and seen some of them, I'm telling you that the color has drained out of the face, and I mean, they got that pasty white look to them, and I mean, they got that grayish look to them. They look like death itself. Oh, yeah, they're having fun. There, let's go to the disco. But they look like death itself. Something doesn't match. Something doesn't make it. Something's wrong. The music's playing. The noise is there. It looks like they're living. But they're dying. They're dying. They're dying. But thank God he came to himself. Thank God he came to himself. The Bible says when he came to himself. When he came to himself. I wish to God somebody here this morning would come to themselves. I wish to God there'd be people here this morning who would, you'd come to yourself. And you'd realize, no way can I break the Word of God. No way. Ain't no way you can break the Word of God. The Bible says, he that despiseth the Word shall be destroyed. Jesus said the Scripture cannot be broken. And listen, friend, you cannot break the Word of God. You can't do it. Wish you'd come to yourself. Wish you'd realize that. Wish you'd take this story and you'd learn a lesson. Because you know, if you don't, hard to tell what could happen. I mean, this situation here where trouble was there and trouble was brewing and trouble caught up to him. I mean, at least this fellow here, he came to himself. I mean, he says, I'm going to go back to my daddy. I'm going back to my father, and I'm going to say to him, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. And by and large, you might have sinned against your daddy, but by and large, you sin against God every time you sin. I said, I've sinned against heaven. He came to himself. He said, I'm going back. I'm going home. I know my daddy's servants. They got more than what we got. They got bread enough and to spare. And here I'm perishing and perishing with hunger. Boy, the Bible says there when he got back there, his daddy saw him. Daddy saw him. And he knew that boy. Can you imagine that situation? I imagine he'd been on the road all night trying to make it in. Nowhere to stay. Said, I slept out there on the side of that road too long. I ain't going to sleep there no more. I'm sleeping there tonight. I'm going home, going to daddy. And boy, he kept on the road that night, on the road. I mean, picking him up and laying him down. Just hoofing it down the road. Daddy gets up like he usually does, 6 o'clock in the morning, said, oh God, I want you to help me this day now, God. You're going to have to give me some grace. And Lord, you know my heart's heavy now for my son. And Lord, I'm just asking you now to do some work, God. I'm asking you, Lord, by your Spirit to box him in. Lord, you know that boy's headed for hard times. He don't know it, Lord. He's blind. He don't know it, Lord. But you know it now. And God, I'm asking you to do something to his heart, Lord. God, get him back to his daddy. Get him back to yourself. Dad's praying away and gets up off his knees there. Takes old Hanky and wipes the tears back from his eyes. Takes a look out and says, Lord, you're good. That sunrise is sure a beauty again today. Lord, you're so good. You're so good. And all of a sudden, he looks, and he sees coming down the tracks. He sees his son coming down there. I mean, that Bible says he's yet a great way off. I mean, he looked down there, and he saw that old gait of that old boy, his boy. And he knew that walk. He knew that gait, man. He knew, there's my walk. There's my boy. I knew that boy. That's him! The Bible says he went to his son. Boy, they got crying, hugging, kissing, and everything else. He come back to his daddy. Boy, that's good. It's good. I wish some of y'all here would soften up your hearts. You got a father in heaven. Some of you still got an earthly father.
Some of you even got an earthly mother. And all you've ever did is break their heart and turn their hair white and cause them to weep day and night. Bring them with sorrow down to the grave nearly. Boy, I sure like to see you come back home. Sure like to see you come back to the Father's house. Sure like to see you come back to the Heavenly Father. Sure like to see you come back.
Amen.
But you know, they don't always do it. Sometimes they don't do it till their nose is really, truly, literally rubbed in the dirt. There's some stubborn mules that just won't come back until they hit the bottom and go through the bottom. They won't do it. They won't do it. You know, you get messing around long enough, you're going to have such a tangled up mess that you come back, you're going to leave something behind you that'll never be untangled. That don't take long. You get somebody started down the pathway of sin, take the idea of drugs. You get somebody else started on drugs, and maybe you get off them, they may never get off of them. That thing might take them all the way to their grave. Oh yeah, you get right over here. But how'd you like to leave something like that behind you? How'd you like to leave a broken home behind you? How'd you like to leave a baby and no daddy? How'd you like to leave a deformed baby back there? So I'll get right over here. How'd you like to leave a deformed baby? I've had them come to me. Tell me, Brother Art, the reason I'm like I am. Years ago, Brother Art, I never told nobody this. Tell me sad, sad stories. Tell me about the payday. Tell me about the payday. Oh yeah, they got right. They're right over here. This is right as I am. This is right as what you are. Boy, there's something tragic left behind. Caused lots of suffering. Brother Art, my mind's driving me crazy. Brother Art, that thing keeps working me over. Brother Art, what am I going to do? I've done going to a psychiatrist. I've done everything I know to do. It drives me crazy, Brother Art. That past has driven me insane. What do I do? If you're here this morning, I'll tell you what you need to do. Before you ever hit that point. Oh, I know the blood of Jesus forgives all sins. You don't have to tell me that. I know that. Before you leave some kind of a horrible, ungodly mess back here, you better come back home. You better come back to your Father. You better come back to the God that got you out of the pit. You better come back. You better come back. I read a couple stories here, and it illustrates pretty well this whole story here. One was the story of a girl who was 15 years of age. She run away. She run away and she made New York. She made New York and she hit the streets of New York, and boy, those old lights are glittering there, and she thought certainly that's the way to go. But you know, it didn't take her long till she developed a habit she could not support. She got herself in a situation where she found herself prostituting on the streets of New York. And that young lady, one of her acts of prostitution, got a hold of a big old black boy, about 6'1", 200 pounds. He took that white girl and used her and killed her. Dead. Killed her dead. I read a story of another young girl. This young girl, she had convictions. She grew up and she had convictions. And she got a hold of a young fella and he asked the privilege of calling her and calling on her. And she says, well, come early. He says, I'm going to be busy later on. So he came over and about 9, 10 o'clock, she said, well, you better go on home now. I got to read my Bible and get to bed. That fella called her up later on, tried for a date on Monday night, and so how about if I take you to dance? And she says, no. She says, for two reasons. Number one, I'm a Christian and I don't dance. Number two is Monday night is my class meeting. So he calls back on Tuesday night and he says, I'd like to come over. I'd like to take you out. I know there's a card party going on. We'll have some fun playing cards. And she says, well, no. She says, for two reasons. Number one, I'm a Christian again. And says, number two, tonight's Bible study night. And he calls her up on Wednesday night and
She says, well, don't even bother talking to me. You know I go to prayer meeting on Wednesday night. I don't even know why you bother to call me, because prayer meeting's Wednesday night's prayer meeting night. You know I go to prayer meeting. And he said, I'll call you back tomorrow night. And he called back and said, how about if I take you out to a good show? And she says, no, for two reasons. Number one, I'm a Christian. And number two, I've got a Christian endeavor to go to. He said, I'll call you back on Friday. And he calls her back on Friday. And she says, well, I can't go with you. He says, I got choir practice tonight. And how about Saturday? And she says, we'll go to a little kind of a party of some sort. And we'll have a big night line out in a big city and that sort of thing. So no, she says, I'm not interested. She says, I've got to study my Sunday school lesson on Saturday night. And a matter of fact, don't bother calling me back on Sunday, because I go to church all day. And that fella, he went back to the guys he run with and told them all about her. He said, if I have to give up all my ungodly living for a girl like that, he said, I'll be glad to do it. Says it'd be worth it all. A girl like that is worth her weight in gold. In fact, God says she's worth more than rubies. Her price is far above her. You can't measure a young girl like that. And you know, those kind of things turn out well. But the other kind, how sad. Now here in this building, you're either in a situation where trouble's about to begin. You're in a situation where it's apparent there's no question trouble's ahead. You may be in trouble. And then again, the tender side, you have the chance right now, before the tragedy hits, you have the chance to come back to the Father. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You say, I'm not interested. You need to be. You have no idea what you're missing. All the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Wouldn't you like to get down and have to pray and say, God, you're so good. I'm such a mess. I can't believe your goodness. God, it's just unreal. Wouldn't you like to pray that way instead of getting down and say, oh, God, how am I ever going to get out? Lord, ain't no way. It's so tangled up now. It's such a mess. No way. Wouldn't it be much better to come back now? The Father's looking. The Father's pleading. He wants you to come. Bow for prayer.